tonight we're going to be doing a teaching on Hezekiah, a man, a single individual that can turn things completely around. We're going to be discussing the kingdom of Assyria. Kevin, you got that? Okay. And then also on the back, David's kingdom. Which will also be Saul. Okay. So we begin in 2 Chronicles 9:22. We're going to see the size of Solomon's kingdom, which is obviously David's kingdom. 2 Chronicles 9:22. I didn't write that down, but I'll get there in a minute.
444.
And really pertinent to the United States, too. If you look at something, how big a kingdom it could be and how much could be lost. I think the same way with the British Empire. They said it was the British Empire, the sun never set. So they were emperor of India, and if you look at all the different places the British Empire was. And now you look at what today is. The 9 verse 22
to 26. Would you mind repeating the page?
Page 444. Okay, Elijah, read 22 to 26.
Okay. And so, of chapter 9?
Yeah, 22.
And so King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth as to riches and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth were seeking the face of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which Yahweh had put in his heart, and they were bringing up every man his present utensils of silver and utensils of gold and mantles, armor and spices, horses and mules, the need of a year in year. And Solomon had 4,000 stalls of horses and chariots, 12,000 horsemen, and he sold them in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. And he ruled over all the kings from which the river
Euphrates,
even up to the land of the Philippines, yea, up to the bounds of Egypt.
So if you look at this, and look at the Assyrian map, not the king David's map. The Euphrates runs right through Babylon. And he went right down to Egypt, and when he said the Philistines ran the coast.
Fish people.
Yeah, and Philistine actually means alien. Or sea person. Go ahead and get this out of the way. And so on the back, obviously, that kind of shows you on David's kingdom. Yeah, I went right down to the Red Sea, all the way up to the very top, you know, right into Mesopotamia. And there's I guess you can see around the back, the Euphrates River.
I see it.
Yeah.
The Tigris.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, Tigris and Euphrates meet in Babylon. So we're going to be looking at King Hezekiah. So between Solomon and Hezekiah is approximately 250 years. What can happen in 250 years? Because remember, what we're going to see is that's the Assyrian kingdom. That's the one of David's kingdom.
Wow.
To get an idea about Hezekiah, we got to look at his father, Ahaz. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to go to chapter 28, verse 1 of 2 Chronicles. Page 459. He was a bad person. And so it does show you what hope can come out. So, you know, Ahaz rules for 16 years. Very evil. So I think of the Obama administration for 8 years. That was just half of the reign of what has happened in the 8 years that he has done. And he didn't have a total control either. But if we read 1 through 8, 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and 16 years reigned he in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, like David his father, but walked in the ways of the king of Israel. Yea, even molten images made he to the Baalim, and he burned incense in the valley of the sons of Hinnom. Son of Hinnom is Gehenna, or what people call hell today. And burned his sons in the fire according to the abominable ways. This is why Christ said Gehenna. So whenever you see the word hell used in the New Testament, it's Gehenna. And Geh, it means the valley of Hinnom. And so why was it wicked? It's because this is where the people used to burn their children to their gods, in the valley of Hinnom. Yeah. And that's what, Gehenna is really for Ben Hinnom, or the son of Hinnom. So the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burned his sons in the fire according to the abominable ways, and that's why all of a sudden there was fire associated with it, of the tradition whom Yahweh dispossessed from before the sons of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and upon the hills and under every green tree. Wherefore Yahweh his Elohim delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. Now remember, Syria is not Assyria. So Syria, if you look on the Assyrian map, the capital of Syria is Damascus.
Kind of pertinent today with all the Syrian refugees.
Yeah, so Syria is Damascus.
Could you hold it up?
That's all right. You guys can see that right across from Tyre is Damascus. So that's the Syrian Empire. So to distinguish between Syria and Assyria, Syria capital is
Damascus.
Damascus still exists today. It's one of the oldest cities in the world. Assyria's capital is
Nineveh,
and that's where Jonah went. So it gives you an idea. And obviously that's way above and off to the side. And as we can see, the kings of Assyria went all the way down to Babylon at one particular time. In Assyria, verse 5 again, wherefore Yahweh his Elohim delivered him into the hand of the king of Assyria, who smote him and carried away captives from him, a large body of captives, and brought them into where? Damascus, that's their capital. Yea, even into the hand of the king of Israel was he delivered, who smote him with a great smite. Remember, he was doing evil to other gods. He has no protection from Yahweh. Right. And so it's the king of Israel is coming against him, and the king of Assyria coming against him, and look what happens. And 6, and Pekah, son of Remelech, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day. The Gettysburg Massacre, what was that called? The Gettysburg Address, but that battle, 60,000 people died in one day, which is huge. This is 120,000. All sons of valor, how could they be wiped out if they were mighty men? Because they had forsaken Yahweh, Elohim of their fathers. So I don't care if you're strong or not. If you walked away from Yahweh, you are defenseless. And Zechariah, a hero of Ephraim, slew Manasseh, son of the king, and all these people, chief rulers of the house of Elohim, and were next unto the king. And the sons of Israel carried away captive from among their brethren 200,000 wives, sons, and daughters. Moreover also, of much spoil did they plunder them and brought the spoil to Samaria. This is Hezekiah's papa. This is the place that he's living in. From what his father, this is going to be the kingdom he inherits. And you can imagine how bad that is. Now if you go to verse 16, and you want to read 16 to 23, Wendy?
At that time sent King Ahaz unto the kings of Assyria to help him. For again had the Edomites come and smitten Judah and carried away captives, and the Philistines had spread themselves out against the cities of the lowland and of the south pertaining to Judah, and had captured Beth Shemesh and Aihalon and Gederoth and Soko with its villages, and Timnah with its villages, and Gimzo with its villages, and dwelt there. For Yahweh had brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he had given rain in Judah and been grievously unfaithful with Yahweh.
And so, we're going to keep going. Giving the rain is what Obama and the Democratic Party are attempting to do with sodomy, you know, man in world's bathroom. That's giving the people rain. And the same way, that's what they says about Aaron, when he did with Israel, when Moses was on the mount. You know, he gave them the rain and they went crazy with the lust of the flesh. So now we go to 20.
And Tilgath-Pilsner, king of Assyria, came against him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of Yahweh and out of the house of the king and the rulers, and gave unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. And in the time of his distress, he yet further acted unfaithfully with Yahweh, he, King Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, who had smitten him, and said, because the gods of the king of Syria are helping them, unto them will I sacrifice, that they may help me. But they served to seduce him and all Israel.
We'll stop there. Was Ahaz religious?
Oh, yeah.
So never confuse religious with holiness to Yahweh, to the Creator.
Godly.
So these, many of the time, the worst people are the most religious. Now we go to 2 Kings. That's page 399, chapter 17. And if you want to know more about Ahaz, Isaiah 7 deals with him also. We'll go to 2 Kings 17, 1 through 3. Now, so here's what's going on in Ahaz's kingdom. So that is Judah. So if you look on your map, you're looking around Jerusalem. Now, above Jerusalem is Samaria. That's Israel, the capital of Israel. So remember, when David had the kingdom, we saw what the size of it was. But after Solomon broke faith with Yahweh, it was 10 tribes were taken from Solomon and given to Jeroboam. That is everything north of Jerusalem. And Samaria became their capital. 10 tribes. So then you had Israel, and then you had Judah. So there was really two kingdoms. The Christ line came through the kings of Judah, not through Israel. So the whole thing can be called Israel, or the 10 tribes are Israel. So we're going to talk about the 10 tribes now, because what you've got is you've got Judah, and you had Israel to buffer you from Syria and from Assyria.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, so Canada has us as a buffer from Mexico. They have to go through us to get to Canada. So you have that. So we're going to look at what is happening to Israel, who is our northern frontier, Judah. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hosea, son of Elah, to reign in Samaria. You see where Samaria is? Over Israel, and he reigned 9 years. This is the last king of Israel. So we're going to find out all of Israel falls, and they all get taken away, captive by the king of Assyria, and scattered out through every place. And he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, only not like the king of Israel who was before him. And a little preface, asterisk. He was bad, not as bad as these guys. What? I don't know if that's good or not. Let's see here. 3. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hosea became his servant and rendered him a present. So we see, Assyria now has got Hosea, the land of Israel. So Ahaz reigned 16 years. So this, when the Samaritan king came in, or the Assyrian king came in, that's the 12th year of Ahaz. So now we go to chapter, or verse 5 and 6, same chapter. And the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land, yea, he came up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hosea did the king of Israel capture Samaria and carry Israel away captive to Assyria and settled in Hamath and harbored by the rivers Gozan and the mountains of Medes. So we know, we've heard of the Medes and the Persians, right? And that's where, that's where the Persian kingdom was. And if you look at your map, you see Elam on the right. Elam is in the mountains.
Elam or Edom?
E-L-A-M. And Elam, I think it is. And Susa was actually a Persian capital. And this is kind of interesting. You see Ur down there?
Yeah.
Ur is where Abraham is from. So actually, Abraham was a Persian. Let's see. Now we go to chapter 18, verse 9 through 12. And it came to pass in the 4th year of King Hezekiah, the same was the 7th year of Hosea, son of Eli, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and laid siege against it. And he captured it at the end of 3 years. In the 6th year of Hezekiah, the same as the 9th year of Hosea, king of Israel, was Samaria captured. So we're going to see Samaria is gone in the 6th year of Hezekiah. We're going to see Hezekiah reigns for 29 years. But there his buffer zone is gone. Well, Israel was just as bad. They attacked his father.
Yeah.
So the king of Assyria drove away Israel to Assyria and settled them in Halah and unto harbor by the rivers of Goshen and the mountain of Media, because they hearkened not unto the voice of Yahweh their Elohim, but transgressed his covenant, all that Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded, they neither hearkened nor performed. Everything's just falling to pieces. Now we're going to begin with Hezekiah. So we'll go back to 2 Chronicles, page 460, chapter 29. So this is all the preface for what Hezekiah's entering into. His dad's an absolute jerk that's getting everybody killed, and you imagine he just ransacked them. If you read about him, he went up to Damascus and saw this altar so good, he came down and had a design for the priest to make it just like they got for the god of Damascus, and they pushed Yahweh's stuff out of the way. I mean, so it really gets bad. And so this is the kingdom that Hezekiah comes into.
Which chapter?
29, verse 1. Okay. Are you ready, Isaiah?
Second Chronicles. Maybe.
Okay. How about Elijah 1 through 5?
Okay. And Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and 29 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And the name of his mother was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. And he did which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the 1st year of his reign, in the 1st month
of... Now think of that. So here it is. Day one, we're going to see what he does. So go ahead. In the 1st year of his reign, in the 1st month...
opened the doors of the house of Yahweh and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the broadway of the east. And he said unto them, Hear me, hear, O Levites. Now hallow yourselves and hallow the house of Yahweh, Yahweh God, in your
bodies. In the Old Testament, it's always Elohim.
Yahweh Elohim.
If you're not sure, just say God. So okay. In the Old Testament, the small G-O-D is always Elohim.
Okay.
And we put Yahweh in the New Testament because Yahweh didn't exist in the New Testament.
Okay.
So Elohim of your fathers.
And take forth the impure things out of the holy place.
Okay, Melania, go from 6 to 11.
For our fathers have acted unfaithfully and done the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned round their faces from the habitation of Yahweh and have offered their backs.
Now think of that. What a great figure of speech. So, Wendy's talking to me.
Hello.
And I just go like this.
Yeah, he does that on a regular
basis. No. and you did that to the Creator.
Yeah.
I have sent things, letters, to believers, and that's exactly what they do. And that's a letter from Christ that's coming to them, and they reject it. And so we got to make sure we never do that. Because what happens is, the message is always going to come from somebody you don't expect, and it's usually something you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
That's why it has to come to such extreme measures. So whenever the prophets came to address a message, it was usually not something they wanted to hear, and from somebody unlikely, a small person who's not a king or a prince or anything like that.
Yeah.
All right. Turn their backs. Verse 7 to 11 now, Melania.
Moreover, they have shut up the doors of the porch and have quenched their lamps and incense.
Now, the lamps were never to go out. So for 16 years, the lamps have been out. The incense is supposed to be going. There's supposed to be bread on the table every day. There's supposed to be... Whenever you see ascending sacrifice, that's the burnt offering. And what a burnt offering is... It's an animal that's been skinned and cut up like you would regularly eat it, but it's given to Yahweh 100%. And that's why other places will say burnt offering, but the word is not burnt. The word actually means ascend. So it's the Savior that's coming up to Yahweh, well-pleasing. So you had an ascending sacrifice in the morning and an ascending sacrifice in the evening, every day.
For the sins?
No, not for your sins. This was just part of it. This was just what we did every day. 365 days out of the year, the lamps never went out, incense was burned, and the bread was put out there ritually. And so all this has been gone for 16 years. Yahweh's house is do not enter. And so Yahweh's patiently waiting for 16 years while these rabbles who have given them the reins are running free, and that's many pastors today. You know, we just heard potentially that with the Pathway Church, supposedly. They asked, one guy's going there, and they said, who's supposed to vote for? Well, we're not sure. And made a statement like that. And what they are, church leaders have become today. They're not pastors. They're actually merchants. They're actually, it's a commercial business, and the tithe is very important to them. So, in order to make a stand that people don't like, they're going to stay neutral. And here you've got Jezebel, which is Hillary Clinton. I mean, how much more extreme can you get? And you're not sure. And that shows you've sold out because you're a retail merchant, and you just want to give the customer what they want. You want them to come back. And so I'm not a pastor. That's not a shepherd. But you do have a business, though. So these places, you know, New Spring Church is that way. You know, Pathway is that way. They're not churches. They are their businesses with customers. And if you don't want to turn your clientele off, you don't...
Tell them what they don't want to hear.
Yeah, you don't tell them what they don't want to hear. So these are my clientele. It's like a restaurant. I don't wear an Obama sticker at a restaurant because I wouldn't go to it. So they stay neutral because they want your business. Church isn't supposed to be that much. Not supposed to be a retail establishment, but they are. Side note. And just go to 9 and to 11.
And lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now is it that near my heart to solemnize a covenant unto Yahweh of Israel, that he may turn from him the glow of his anger. My sons, now do not be faulty, for of you hath Yahweh made choice to stand before him and wait upon him, and to be his attendants and burners of incense.
Okay, so we go back to verse 3, in the first year of the reign, in the first month. So, there are two first months. Genesis 1:1 is Tishri 1. That's Genesis 1:1. The calendar, and the Jewish calendar today is Tishri 1, is number 1.
Not January.
It's Tishri 1, which is October, actually. This year is in October. Tishri is the beginning of the year. That's when Yahweh made, started with Genesis 1. It was Tishri 1. Adam was made on the 6th of Tishri. Now, when we went through the Passover, Yahweh said, you're going to change the first month to Nisan. And so you have two first months in the word. You have Tishri, which is, to the Jews right now, it's New Year's Eve. Tishri is New Year, is the New Year. Nisan is what's also called the first, and in this particular case, that didn't happen until Exodus 20. This is Nisan. Nisan 1 went to the 14th. The 14th was what? Nisan the 14th.
Passover.
So that's when Christ was sacrificed. And that's where the lamb was supposed to be sacrificed, which is called Passover. And then the 15th to the 21st was day of what?
Jubilation?
No. Day of unleavened bread. They had to eat unleavened bread, a feast of unleavened bread. For seven days they ate unleavened bread because they were fleeing from Egypt. So that's the meaning. You didn't have time to raise your bread, the dough.
For the dough.
So that's how you can remember, day of unleavened bread. They started here on the 1st of Nisan. Passover is supposed to be on the 14th. And we're going to see they don't make it. And so we see Covenant and Nisan 1. Now we go to 16 and 17. So the priests entered into the inner part of the house of Yahweh, clearing things out to make purification, and they brought out every unclean thing which they found in the temple of Yahweh into the court of the house of Yahweh, where the Levites received it. And that's what we're supposed to do with the Word. So these NIV Bibles and New Living Translations, there's garbage all the way through them. Take it out. Get rid of it. They got rid of the only begotten Son of God. You know, they've changed things, and this is what Hezekiah did. That's what we do. And that's what the Rotherham does. It gets us back to where we're supposed to be. 17. And they began on the first of the month, which would be Nisan, to hollow, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the porch of Yahweh. So they hollowed the house of Yahweh in 8 days. And on the 16th day, well, that's the 14th was Passover.
Yeah.
On the 16th day of the first month, they finished. But it was not holy until the 16th. You can't have Passover if you're defiled. But there's a plan for that. Let me show you here.
Yeah, we got a plan for everything.
Yes, it is. Okay, so keep your finger here. Let me see. We read 16 to 17. Go to, keep your finger. We're going to write right here. Numbers 9, verse 4. Tell the kids where it is. Verse 4, page 167. So what happens, and this is what happened, if you're about ready to do Passover, and if a person died in your family, you're unclean. It takes you 7 days to be clean, and so you can't do Passover, so that was the problem. What are we going to do? I didn't do it. And so they're going to address that in Numbers 9, verse 4 through 11. And let's see here. Okay. Esther, why don't you read 4?
Okay. Then speak Moses.
Yeah, speak loud.
Then speak Moses unto the sons of Israel, that they should keep the Passover. So they kept the Passover in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, between the two evenings in the desert of Sinai, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so did the sons of Israel.
But so it was that there was certain men who had become unclean by a dead person and could not keep the Passover on that day. Therefore they came near before Moses and before Aharon on that day. Then said those men unto him, we are unclean by a dead person. Wherefore should we become of less esteem for want of offering the oblation of Yahweh in an appointed season in the midst of the sons of Israel? And Moses said unto them, stay, let me hear what Yahweh shall command concerning you. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
and said,
go straight to you.
I have no idea. I'll get back with you. And that's the same way with us. Sometimes something comes up and you go, the word doesn't address it. I don't know quite how to handle this. So, okay, go to Father. What do you want me to do? Where did I stop? Oh, there. Oh, yeah, 9. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, saying, though any man be unclean by a dead person, or be on a journey afar off, whether in the case of yourself or of your generations, and shall he keep a Passover unto Yahweh, in the second month, on the 14th day, between the two evenings, shall they keep it. That's what Hezekiah's got to do. So now we go back to 2 Chronicles, verse 30. Verse
1. Chapter
30,
not verse
30. Yeah, chapter 30, verse 1. You're correct. Okay, Isaiah, are you there? Okay, about Esther, you read 1 through 3.
Okay.
Loud.
Then sent Hezekiah unto all Israel and Judah, Moab, also little wrote he unto Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem to keep a Passover unto Yahweh.
Let me stop right here for a minute. Remember, the northern nations were not overthrown until the 6th year of Hezekiah. This is the first year of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is inviting them to come and do the Passover. Very significant. This is like redemption.
Yeah.
Remember, if they don't, in 6 years, they're gone. And that's what happens to them, because they don't come. Now, verse 2.
Ye, the king and his rulers, and all the kings in Jerusalem, have taken counsel to keep the Passover in the second month. They were unable to keep it at that time, because the priests had not hallowed themselves in significant numbers, and the people had not gathered themselves unto Jerusalem.
There you go. So Hezekiah did it on the second month, on the 14th day. Now we go to 10 and 12, and they invite everybody. So what a great guy this guy is. So the runners were passing from city to city throughout the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they were laughing them to scorn and mocking them. Wow. You know, last call.
Runners.
They had no idea. In 6 years, in the 6 years, you're gone.
It's pretty significant with the number 6, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, yeah.
How about some out of Asher, Manasseh, and out of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem, and also unto Judah came the hand of Elohim to give them one heart to keep the commandment of the king and the rulers as the word of Yahweh. And we go to 21, verse 21 through 26. And you want to read that, Wendy?
And so the sons of Israel who were found in Jerusalem kept the festival of unleavened cakes 7 days with great rejoicing, and the Levites and the priests were offering praise unto Yahweh day by day with loud instruments unto Yahweh.
Now, stop there. Remember, Ahaz, it was a wreck. And so Hezekiah, this is the second month of his kingdom, and everybody's rejoicing with Yahweh. What one person can do.
Yeah.
And a person in high authority, and this is what I'm hoping for Donald Trump, actually. Mm-hmm. And 22.
And Hezekiah spake unto the heart of all the Levites who were giving good instruction respecting Yahweh, and they did eat the appointed feast 7 days, sacrificing the peace offerings and offering praise unto Yahweh, God of their fathers. Then all the convocation took counsel to keep 7 days more, and they kept 7 days with rejoicing.
Now, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
They said, this is so great, we're going to do it. I mean, they're 16 years behind.
Yeah.
Catch up. Yeah. Now go to verse 24.
For Hezekiah, king of Judah, presented to the convocation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep, and the rulers presented to the convocation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and priests in great number hallowed themselves. So all the convocation of Judah and the priests and the Levites and all the convocation that came in out of Israel rejoiced. Also the sojourners who were coming in out of the land of Israel and the dwellers in Judah. Thus was there great rejoicing in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon of David, king of Israel, there had not been the like of this in Jerusalem.
Well, where's Syria and Assyria? Well, Yahweh guarantees them, everybody's out of their homes, everybody's out of their town, they're all in Jerusalem, as required. Yahweh says they'll never attack you then. So on the three required feasts, all the men are required to come. And if the enemy knew that, what a time to take all everything. You take all their women and children, everything hostage, but Yahweh says, no, I got you covered. They cannot attack you at that time. And these guys are there 14 days, 2 weeks.
Wife's at home cooking.
Yeah.
Taking care of the kids.
Now we're going to learn about Assyria.
No way.
Let's go to 2 Kings 18, page 401.
Sure you will, you are 7 days. Come home and spank these kids.
Now with the Passover, I think all the women and children many times went to them, because Joshua said Mary and Joseph always went up to the Passover.
Yeah.
In Luke 18, verse 5. Now we're going to get into the Assyrian. Okay, let me see, 5 through 8. So, and Yahweh Elohim of Israel did he trust. And let me see, we're talking about Hezekiah. So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor that were before him. And he did cleave unto Yahweh, he turned not from the following him, but kept his covenant, which Yahweh commanded Moses. Yahweh is with him, whithersoever he went forth, he prospered, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. And that was usually what they call tribute. And so tribute is just hold-up money.
Black man.
You give us 100 pounds of gold each year and we'll leave you alone. We won't attack you. And that's what the Muslims were doing in the United States. Did you know that?
Yeah.
The fight of Tripoli, the shores of Tripoli, were Muslims, and we were paying tribute to them, tax of money, to leave us alone and not invade our ships. And tell Thomas Jefferson enough. And he fought them. And those are the shores of Tripoli.
Yeah.
And Mahala, Montezuma, to the shores of... And that was Muslim. We fought back and said, no more. So the United States was giving their money to be left alone.
Yeah.
It's shakedown money. That's a side note. Let's see here. On 8, he smote the Philistines as far as Gaza and her boundaries from the watchman tower even to the fortified city. So here comes the king of Assyria. And verse 13. And in the 14th year of King Hezekiah came up Sennacherib, king of Assyria, against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. So remember, the 6th year Samaria was gone. So this is the 14th year. You know, the Israelites were gone after the 6th year of Hezekiah. So this has been... 8 years that the king hasn't still touched him yet. Yahweh's protected him. Because this is the 14th year. Then sent Hezekiah, king of Judah, unto the king of Assyria, to Lachish, saying, I have sinned, return from me. What wilt thou lay upon me? I will bear it. So he's trying to pay this tribute. So the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents. A talent is 100 pounds. 300 pounds of silver and 30 pounds of gold, and Hezekiah delivered up all the silver that was found in the house of Yahweh. He's melting things down. And in the treasuries of the house of the king, at that time Hezekiah cut off the doors of the temple of Yahweh and the columns with Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave them unto the king of Assyria. But does that ever satisfy him? So watch out. No. Weakness never satisfies a tyrant. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish unto King Hezekiah with a heavy force to Jerusalem. So they came up and drew near to Jerusalem and took their stand by the upper channel of the pool, which is in the highway of the fuller field. Then called they for the king of And there went up unto them Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebnah, the scribe, and Joab, son of Asaph, the recorder, and Rabshakeh said unto them, Pray, you say unto Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What trust is this wherein thou dost trust? Thou hast said, They are only words at the lips, counsel and might have I for the war. Now in whom dost thou trust that thou hast rebelled against me? Now, let me see if I want to do that. I was going to go to 9:20, but I think that's going to be, or 19, verse 20. Why don't you read, Wendy, can you read 21? And when you want to stop, go ahead and stop.
Now, lo, thou dost trust thyself on the support of this bruised cane, on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will enter his hand and lay it open. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust upon him. But if ye should say unto me, In Yahweh our God do we trust, then is that not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath removed, and said unto Judah and unto Jerusalem, Before this altar shall ye bow down in Jerusalem? Now therefore pledge thyself, I pray thee, with my lord, the king of Assyria, that I supply thee with 2,000 horses, if thou on thy part be able to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn back the face of one pasha of the least of my lord's servants? Or hast thou on thy part trusted to Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Now, is it without Yahweh that I have come up against this place to destroy it? Yahweh himself said unto me, Go thou up against this land and destroy it. Then said Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, unto Rabshakeh, Speak, we pray thee, unto the servants in Syrian language, for we can understand it. And do not speak with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people who are upon the wall.
I'll say I'll stop there. But it's good to read all the way through to 19:20. And there's a great duel. And they say, we're going to take care of you. Just surrender. We're going to put you out. You're going to have your own vines. And that's always the lie of slavery. We'll take care of you. You know, afford a care, right? From Obama. And premiums are 50 to 100% higher. And it was all lies and deception. So he's surrounded. You know, you look how big the Assyrian kingdom is. Just look at that again. And then you look at Jerusalem. So all that power is coming down to bear on Jerusalem. But look what Yahweh does. Because he defiles Yahweh. So now we go to 19 verse 35. Melania, 35 to 37. Or let's Isaiah do it. He hadn't read yet. 35 to 37.
And it came to pass during that night that the messenger of Yahweh went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. When the men rose early in the morning, lo, they were all dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria break up and went astray and returned and remained
in
Nineveh. And it came to pass then that as he was bowing down the house of Nisroch, his god. And
Adramelech.
And Shear, his sons, smote him with the sword. How about they escaped in the land of
Ararat?
And
get his name, son reigned instead. So he got his, didn't he?
His own sons.
185,000 one night, and that spoils. So you get to come out, take all their clothing, all their gold, all their horses, all their jewels, everything else. That's half of Wichita gone in one night. So that's the reward of Hezekiah. So this is his 14th year. Remember, the Assyrian came down in 14th year. And now you got a problem. In 20 verse 1, coming. You just smote the biggest army in the world in that particular time. Remember, he's reigned 29 years, but this is the 14th year. But look what the message is on chapter 20, verse 1, Melania. Or Esther, 20, verse 1. 20,
verse 1.
Never. Who's on first?
Israel, Elijah.
Okay, go ahead.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. In those days, as Hezekiah is sick unto death, and Isaiah, son of Amos, the prophet, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith Yahweh, set in order thy house, for about to die thou art, and shalt not recover.
That's bad news.
Bad news right there.
After all this, he's sick, and so here's the message. Okay, are you there, Esther?
Yeah.
Okay, two.
Then he turned his face into the wall and prayed unto Yahweh, saying, I beseech, O Yahweh, remember I pray thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with whole heart, and that this is a good night that I have I done in
Hezekiah.
Hezekiah was blown.
Now, and it came to pass that Isaiah had not gone out into the middle court when the word of Yahweh came unto him, saying, So a prophecy can change. We're going to find out. Return, and thou shalt say unto Hezekiah, the leader of my people, Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold me about to heal thee. On the third day shalt thou go up unto the house of Yahweh, and I will add unto thy days, what?
15 years.
So he was 14, so it's going to be 29 years. Hezekiah hadn't had a son yet. It was very important. The Christ line is supposed to come through him.
Yeah.
He was dying and hadn't had a son. So that would have been the end of the Christ line.
That's not going to work, yeah.
We'll see that. And out of the hand of the king of Assyria will I deliver thee in this city, and will throw a covering over this city for my sake and for the sake of David my servant. See here. So he's at age 39 right now. And so how we know that, we look at the 21 verse 1. Manasseh is going to be his son. Yeah. But we don't know. Verse 1, what does it say, Elijah?
Verse 1 of chapter 20?
21.
12 years old was Manasseh when he began to reign.
Wait a minute here. So if Hezekiah was 29 and his son's 12, when was his son conceived?
I was already thinking
12 that. From 29, that is 17. And 1 for conception, 16. So in his 16th year, he's going to conceive Manasseh, and he's going to be born in his 17th year. So he was supposed to be dead on the 14th year. So there would have been no Manasseh, which is the Christ line. Now, if you... Let me see here. I guess we just leave it right here. Go to Matthew 1, verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10.
Matthew?
Yeah, chapter 1, verse 10. That's a story in itself. Ahaz was a terrible sinner for a father, 16 years. Hezekiah was great for 29 years. Manasseh was terrible. 50 years. But if you look at verse 10, chapter 1, verse 1 of Matthew, look at verse 1, and the lineage roll of Yahushua Mashiach, son of David, son of Abraham. Matthew is the king line of Christ. And in verse 10, and Hezekiah begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon. So he came through Hezekiah and Manasseh. So Manasseh wasn't even born before he was determined to die. So these are the lessons from Hezekiah of what can happen when one person stands faithfully with Yahweh. And we learned that in And Paul in 1 Corinthians, he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. My power is sufficient. And so you hang to it. He did it. He got delivered. Israel's gone for 150 years before Judah is finally gone. The only reason Judah ever left is because they rejected Yahweh. And so lucky they even ran through Manasseh and survived, because Josiah comes in after that, and he's another Hezekiah.
Yeah.
And turns again. So very good.